How are we holding up in the heat? This church doesn't get too bad, huh? With the fans, not too bad. Our sermon this morning is going to come from the Epistle of St. James, which was our epistle reading this morning. And maybe you've heard this saying before. Have you ever heard this saying before? God is good. All the time. All the time. God is good, right? It's more prevalent in Protestant circles, but Catholics and Orthodox do say that sometimes as well. When I was in seminary, I remember how much that used to drive me crazy, that statement, because at the time I was, of course, engulfed in like these deep theological discussions and thoughts. And as I'm engulfed in all the depths of this stuff with people much smarter than me and trying to keep up and just going so deep, when I would hear the simplicity of that statement, I would think, all right, whatever, you know, this is whatever. And then, I don't know, I'm older now, and I probably have more days lived than I have ahead of me. And now when I hear that, and I think of the rich depths of it, it does move me. And I do love it again. And it comes from our passage this morning in verse number 17 of the first chapter of James. And it says this: every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heaven, of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. The point is that the reason that this statement begins to affect me again is because I can see it from two different perspectives now. I have a friend of mine. He's retired. Hard to believe I have a friend who's retired. He's retired. He skis in the winter. He fishes and hunts and hikes in the summertime. He's always posting on Facebook about how great things are. He's healthy. He retired young. He had a great retirement plan. He has a brand new home. And when I see him, I say, hey, how are you doing? And he always says, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. And from his perspective, I think it's a good thing to say, because when things are going that well, it's easy to take credit for it yourself. But what he's really doing is saying that I'm doing well because of God. And I contrast that. There was a young man, maybe in his late 20s, early 30s, who was a parishioner of mine in St. Stephen's when I was in Springfield. And he was a troubled soul. And he walked into church one day off the street, and you could see his arms just all cuts from when he would cut himself, trying to relieve the psychological pressure and going on in his mind. And when I met him for the first time, his name was Robbie, I said, hi, Robbie, welcome to St. Stephen's Orthodox Church in your home. And, you know, he wept like he had a place, and he said, this is my first day out of jail. I've been in jail for 10 years, and I don't know what I'm doing with my life. And he found a home with us. And so over the years, he was with us maybe 2 or 3 years until I got the call that he had taken his own life. And after that had happened, I had to go. His whole family was from a Black Baptist church. And so they wanted to have the funeral there, but they asked if I would preach the sermon because I was his priest. And we got along really well. So I show up at this Black Baptist church, and there's this old black preacher sitting in the back. And he's very prayerful, wonderful, wonderful man of God. And as the people started coming into the church for the funeral, dressed in black, crying and all of that, each one that walked in the door, as he shook their hand and welcomed them, he would say, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. And it was a very different perspective, wasn't it? The first one was this humility that things were going so well. And the second one was a reminder that when things aren't going so well, that God is still good all the time. And that's what James is talking to us about this morning. Because he's writing to Christians in the first century who are being persecuted under Diocletian, and they're being killed for their faith. And you can see a lot of people are out of church today, maybe because it's hot, they have other things going on, whatever. Imagine what it was like to try and make it to Mass on Sunday back then, when people you knew were killed. And you knew that every time you went, you were risking your life. And so imagine what it's like when you hear God is good, and you hear James saying, every good and perfect gift comes from God, and yet your friends are being killed, you're being persecuted. It's difficult to go to church, more than difficult. It's scary to attend Mass. And so this is what he's writing to. What he's writing to is a group of people, and he's saying, listen, all good things come from God. God is still good, even though it doesn't appear that way on the surface all the time. Now, the point that James is making is that God is, his essence is love. And he is the repository of everything that is good. Every single good thing that happens in this world flows from him, because he's the repository of all good. In other words, if you were in Singapore and you bought a Coke, or if you were in Houston, Texas and you bought a Coke, or if you were in Ireland and you bought a Coca-Cola, or if you were in France and you bought a Coca-Cola, the one thing you can know is all of those Cokes came from the Coca-Cola company. Because the Coca-Cola company is the repository of Coca-Cola. It comes from them. They make it, it's theirs, they distribute it, it's theirs, right? When we see good in the same way, all good comes from God. When we see loving moments, when we see charity, when we see goodness, we're to remember that all good things come from Him, that He's the repository of all good things. Now, what does this goodness look like? It doesn't look exactly the way we look at goodness. For example, when we got our new puppy, Brody, 9 years ago, my wife begged me not to give him snacks. Now, he would look at me with these eyes. You got to understand, it was irresistible. And I started him on this trail of snacking. Whatever I ate, he ate. Whenever my father came over, whatever he ate, my dog ate. Now, my wife would always look at the dog and say, Brody, go lay down and stop begging. Now, from Brody's perspective, who was the loving parent? Me. I always gave the food. But what is the truth of that? Who is the loving parent? Because my dog is 38 pounds now. He's supposed to be 22. And he's having health problems because of it. Who was showing goodness and love? See, goodness and love isn't always getting what we want. Goodness and love isn't always God agreeing with us. Goodness and love is God giving us what we need and God allowing us to go through the things that we need to go through in order for us to be affected in a way that grows our holiness. So God's goodness sometimes allows us to feel the weight of our sins. If you've ever been publicly humiliated because of something you've done, if you've ever fallen short and people found out and you feel the weight of that and you say, God, why would you allow me to experience the weight of all of my frailty? Because God is using it for the good, because only good things come from God. God is the repository of all that is good. And He allows us to face unprecedented challenges. And the other thing that's really important to understand is that we can mistake associating God's goodness with agreeing with us. In other words, I got the job, God is with me. I got the house, God is with me. Everything went according to plan. I got a great report at the doctor's the other day, God is with me. God is with me. Well, what happens if you don't get the house? Does that mean God is not with you? What happens when everything falls apart? Does that mean God is no longer with you? And when we lose a loved one, is God no longer with us? That's not, and this is exactly what James is trying to hit on. He's going right to the heart of the Christians to hit on this. Because things don't go the way you desire them to go, it does not mean God does not love you, and it does not mean that God is not with you. As a matter of fact, if you're being reprimanded by God, it's because He loves you. Imagine a judge in a courtroom who found everybody innocent. Is he good? Is that goodness? There's no justice. Imagine a God who shows no discipline upon us and never allows us to feel the weight or consequence of our sin. How do we grow in holiness without it? How do we grow in Him? So it's important to understand that. This is why David had this eternal perspective. He understood this truth, that God uses all things for good. You see, he also understood that God doesn't look at the world the way we do. We see somebody sick and die, and we say, where's God? How could this possibly be? Because for us, the whole story is 100 years. That's the whole story. If I didn't get the house this time, that's the whole story. The whole story is that my marriage is falling apart. The whole story. God looks for me in eternal perspective and uses all of these troublesome things within this 100-year time frame that he gives us, however many years we get. He uses all of this stuff to shape and to mold us. He allows us to feel the consequences of our own choices sometimes. Sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes he's kind to us in that way. But James is writing to Christians about this question of goodness. It also says this, that every good and perfect gift is from above, the imagery of God in heaven and his throne, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights. He speaks of lights. See, God's goodness is light and purity. It doesn't mean that it doesn't always hurt. It just means that it's always good. It's always good. He always allows the difficult things for a good end. Where we might seek revenge when we're hurt, but with us, you know, you might get this sense that God wearies from us. He wearies from our sins. He wearies from our weaknesses over and over again. He doesn't. He's not like us. He doesn't think in those terms. He's pure light. See, when we do things, when we gossip about somebody, we do it in the darkness behind their back. See, when you look at strip clubs and triple X stores and all these places, notice they have no windows. It's always in the darkness that this stuff happens. You know, when we do sin, we do it secretly behind in the darkness. And what James is saying is God is light. Everything he does is in the light. Everything he does is wide open. Everything that he allows to happen in your life, you can say, God, why did you allow this? And he'll say, I did allow it. In the light, with no secrets, with nothing hidden. And then James, you know, challenges us, then all of a sudden, we got to see the goodness of God even when we don't see the goodness of God. And that's not an easy thing. So if James is writing to persecuted Christians who might question the goodness of God due to their circumstances, is it possible that maybe we do the same? Maybe in our troubled difficulties, maybe in the challenges of our life, we forget the goodness of God. We don't look at an eternal picture. We only look at the moment. We forget how God can use all of these terrible and difficult and tragic events even in the end to grow flowers. If you look at the life of Joseph, he was taken into slavery. His brothers betrayed him. They wanted him to be killed. They didn't care what happened to him. They just took a few coins for him and they sold him off. Now, from the image of that, you would say that's unfair and horrible. But then Joseph rises up in Egypt and saves the Israelites from starvation during a huge famine for years. God used it for the good. And the issue at hand is that can God still be good even when we are not happy with our life circumstances? And the truth is yes, God is always good, always trustworthy. And so the perspective that we're supposed to have now and supposed to be shifting towards as Christians is an eternal perspective where we say, my gosh, it's difficult. My gosh, those things I didn't like, I didn't want to happen. And yet, God will use all of this for good for those who love him and are called according to his purposes. That's what St. Paul says. So we're called to remember the good plans of God and to trust in his plans for our lives, even when we don't always fully understand or comprehend what's going on. That is a challenging thing this morning. I hope it challenges you. It challenges me. And we'll just pray that the message that James was sharing with the church that day, the message that hits you in your heart this morning, trust in God. Put your faith in God and pray to God to deliver you from the circumstances of your life, but not just to deliver you so quickly that you don't learn from the hard things that God has for us in order that we may grow. And remember when things are going well. Remember his goodness, because it won't always be that way. There'll be difficulties. And I'll close with this. I was at the deathbed of a man who was a Christian, a very good Christian man. And as I sat at his deathbed, he said, I went through a lot in my life. And this guy went through a lot in his life. But he said, now that I have this eternal perspective, sitting here with moments left to live, he said, if it was a riot at Riverside, I would say again. You know, he saw the eternal perspective and he saw the goodness of God. Just like David, when he sat up on the hillside in his last days and he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He said that not at the beginning of his life. He said it at the end when he had learned this truth, that God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.